If it's in the Word of God, I promise it will happen. Otherwise, the entire thing is a farce.
Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. And it's good to be back with you, Pastor Stephen. I missed you last week, man.
Yeah, it's glad to have you back, man.
Yeah. Calvin can just keep on singing, you know what I mean? thank you, Calvin.
And Calvin's a master promoter. And, when you go to his concerts and stuff, he never misses a beat, tells stories and stuff, and I think seeing the clock, like we've got a certain amount of time. Yeah. He didn't really want to take focus away from what we were doing, and so he didn't talk as much as we're used to him doing. Well, he kept us right on task,
well,
man.
I appreciate him stepping in, man.
Right on task. And I think he even did. Journey, did he? If I remember correctly, did he even do a what up, what up? Is that how he started out?
He did a what up, what up.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever said what up, what up.
Well, I'm just telling you how
that's the way we take it.
That's right? How he interpreted it. Yeah. You know, the what up, what up.
Well.
But I heard you were down like at a prison work camp down in Honduras. Y'all worked.
We worked.
Yeah. My son came back and said, "That's the most physical labor I've ever done in my life."
He wasn't
complaining. He was just saying, man, we worked.
It was a lot.
So that's good, man. Any a cold cup of water or a sledgehammer slung in the name of Jesus, he'll accomplish eternal things.
That's the prayer.
Yeah,
the prayer.
Well, I was just talking to a guy who heads up our missions for us, and he's like, I guess y'all did a soccer camp one night or a little soccer thing with dads and their sons, and three dads who don't go to church, their sons do go to church, were really impressed by that and said, "I didn't realize how much the church cared for our kids." Mm. And we realized that we need to get involved in this.
Oh, nice.
So
I hadn't heard of that report.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's true. I mean, he told me before I came in here. So
well, he's a missions guy. You hopefully he wouldn't lie to you.
It'd be terrible.
It would.
But anyway.
But it's good to be back.
Yep.
It's good to be back.
Yep. In the air conditioning. It wasn't, but the humidity's not as bad down there, is it?
It's not. Yep. It's not. I mean, it was 65-ish in the morning time. Same in the late evening. It probably got up to 85 during the day, but it wasn't miserable.
You know what they call 85 in Panama City in July, don't you?
Fall.
A cold front.
A cold front.
Son, I got my truck this afternoon. 115 is what it said.
I have my doors off. It is smoking hot.
Goodness. I saw a guy riding a bike down Jinx, and he was black, dressed black from head to toe, in black shirt, black pants, black, with riding a black bike.
There you go.
And that joker, he was just having to stop because he was just flat worn out.
I'm sure.
Sweating like crazy.
I'm tired of listening to you tell that story.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
That's true.
I'm sweating already.
Yeah, it is hot, but there you go. It'll be hotter than hell, I would assume.
I didn't mean to laugh at that. That was probably wrong time to laugh. Well, but yes.
Yeah, the flame, the worm that never dies, the flame that's never extinguished. Thank Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank Jesus that he's already taken care of that. So, and would take care of that for anybody who calls upon his name and surrenders their life to him.
That's right.
Anybody, no matter what they've done. So that is the glorious hope that we have. It's known as the good news, right? The gospel.
You just flipped the script from telling somebody riding on a bike, telling a story, to sharing Jesus in about 32 seconds.
Man, it's all about segue.
Did you go to take a class for that?
Yeah, I wish. I wish. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, well, just, hey.
What's in the heart comes out, right?
I guess so, yeah.
There you go.
Hey, if 115 in July in Florida doesn't make you appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ, then, man, I don't know what will. So
yeah.
but There you go.
It's just fun to talk about Jesus, man.
Yep. Yep. Because he won.
That's true.
We've been talking about that,
that's
too.
True.
We've been talking about that. We've been getting some, you know, some comments from folks, from our listeners, and some questions. We always appreciate that, man. Feel free to feel free to do that. We'll have some folks that'll comment on some of the shorts that that Journey throws out there. And I would just encourage, hey, go ahead and watch. Listen to the whole thing. That answer may be there. Then just grabbing a hold of a little 30-second clip. But yeah, we're thankful. Yeah. If Jesus can work through slinging a sledgehammer, that just we get a video at our house. Me and my wife of my son who's there swinging it looks like a sledgehammer. I think it was kind of just a real heavy axe.
It was a pickaxe.
It's a pickaxe. Well, he was trying to bust some concrete, I guess, on a support beam, and clearly you could tell his pride got involved because some people in the background are like, oh yeah, let's see how long this goes, and my wife pointed out, number one, look at how close he's getting to that leg because he's swinging it like a baseball bat, and I think he got through it. There might be a little piece left, but anyway.
It may have been a sledgehammer. I wasn't on that site.
Well, it was an axe end, and to me it looked like a sledge on one end and an axe on another. And, of course, you know, my wife's sitting there, and she goes, where's the hard hat? There's no hard hat. Why ain't they wearing a hard hat? And I'm like, well, you know, if he's busting down a support beam while he's standing underneath it, a hard hat might not be a bad idea. But he comes home and goes, Mom, they don't have hard hats down in Honduras. And then he tells a story of being up on the roof of the second floor and putting down roofing and tacking it. And she goes, well, I mean, you were roped off and stuff. You had on a harness. He goes, you have on no harness. They don't have a harness there. Needless to say, I don't think she'll let him go back again.
Yeah. You know. I had to show him how to use a saw real quick. He had a little circular saw. Well, he was trying to go down with it instead of up. So when he hit it, it popped back. I'm like, Reed, hang on just a second. Like, let's, you got to go up. Like, you got to go, the blade's going to do the work. But he had a good time. He did work hard. I'll give him that. Yep. He worked hard.
There you go. I guess I failed him on the whole saw thing. Anyway, when you're paying what I pay for 2x4s, you want a good clean cut.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
I let him hold it down.
hold a flashlight.
But anyway, no, it's good. I would encourage anybody, if you or your family, your kids get an opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip and do anything for the cause of Christ, man, go ahead and do that. When it's all said and done, you'll be the one who's blessed.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like going to bed after a hard day's work and you've been doing it for the kingdom of Christ.
Yeah.
So.
All right,
you ready to jump into this one?
Let's do it, man. Revelation chapter 12.
Dive in. I do need to make something very clear before we go any further.
Oh boy.
And I think Journey is going to edit this out of the sermon, but for those who don't listen to the sermon because you've sat through the sermon and you just listen to the podcast, I don't think I did this in the first service. If I did, nobody said anything to me about it. But in the second service, when I was when I thought I made the comment of when Satan entered Judas, and I was kind of going through this this litany of all the different things that Satan did to try to kill Jesus to keep him from going to the cross, as if he could. We know he failed every time, but I was going through it, and I was going through real fast, and undoubtedly instead of saying when Satan entered Judas, I said when Satan entered Jesus. Clearly, I do not believe Satan entered Jesus. He tempted Jesus. He did everything he could. He offered Jesus things that he didn't own to give him, but he did enter Judas, and he used Judas as a betrayer. So just want to make sure that's clear in case we get those questions. You talk as much as I do for a living.
Yeah.
Every now and then something comes out, and man, I just kept on rolling. I didn't even know until later. My daughter's like, she had already texted my wife. You're not gonna believe what Dad said today, because my wife wasn't able to be here. She's recovering from surgery that she had, but or it would have been her. And usually the way it works is soon as I walk off the stage, yeah. Did you know you said this?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You ever get those moments like, hey, did I make sense, babe? Like, did I? No.
Yeah, I don't
no,
even.
You,
I don't,
you didn't.
I don't even ask those questions anymore. I don't want to do that. You know?
My wife told me one time, she's like, hey, your intro is a little rough. I'm like, thanks, babe.
Did you start with what up, what up?
No, I didn't. I probably should. Just what's
up, what up? All right, well, let's jump into some Revelation 12.
So, yeah, this was kind of a complicated sermon, if I'm being honest.
Well, it was. I originally intended to do all of Revelation 12 together.
Okay.
And when we planned to observe the Lord's Supper or communion, I'm like, all right, we're going to have some extra time to do that. There is no way that I can deal with this. And then I thought, okay, I'll step out of the book of Revelation. I'll do something else. But, you know, I just went back and looked over my notes, and I'm like, no. This will work, man. This will tie in. We can do this, and we're just going to have to cut it off with the beginning there, the characters. The next time in Revelation, we'll actually have to – I'll have to reference some of what I said before just so it'll make sense as we continue.
Well, and you give us heads up, you know, especially on some of the numbers or some of the imagery there when it comes to the dragon. You even say we're going to talk about it, you know, later, but – So maybe answer this question for us, because you said it ties into the Lord's Supper, but yet it's titled Christmas in July. So how does this all, you know, if you can give us a quick little synopsis, how does this all tie in together?
Well, the Lord's Supper is symbolic. It is a celebration of what Christ did on the cross. It's also, he says, every time you take it, not only do you proclaim, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection, but you also proclaim that he's going to return and he's going to get the church, and then he is going to right the wrongs of this world. And he's going to get the world back to the way the world was when he created the world. And that was perfect, without sin. That's what we've been walking through in the book of Revelation leading up to that moment. Now, we've already, according to my understanding of Scripture, we've already dealt with the church being raptured out of here. We're now in this time, this little period of tribulation. But one of the things that we talked about here is that the dragon, the representative of the devil, Lucifer, Satan, I mean, whatever you want to say, consistently did everything he could to make sure that Jesus did not have the opportunity to go to the cross, did not have the opportunity to pay the price for our sin, to be our substitute, to atone for our sin. And so that's what the dragon, that's what he's talking about here. And really he's saying, hey, he was there in Bethlehem too.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the woman, and I don't know, we'll talk about that, but being representative of the nation of Israel, here they are longing for the Messiah. The Messiah comes at just the right time, and yet they, for the most part, don't even recognize him as the Messiah.
Yeah.
But it still did not, thwart, T-H-W-A-R-T, it did not circumvent the plans that God had in store that the Jews didn't accept. I mean, it didn't catch God by surprise at all. And so it's a classic example. What do I have to do to keep from the cross happening? What do I have to do to keep men bound in their own sin? And when we take the Lord's Supper, what we're saying is Jesus accomplished what he came to accomplish. He did what we could not do, and he offers us the greatest gift to a fulfill the greatest need that we have, which is forgiveness of our sin. And he's not finished yet. Now, his victory is already assured. It's already done, taken care of.
Yeah.
But yet, he is yet to finish everything that comes with that victory.
Well, and what I really appreciated about how you worked all this together, you know, we looked at the woman that's mentioned, because I think you said it's God's viewpoint of Christians kind of in this.
Well, I said that it's God's point of view of Christmas.
There you go.
Of Christmas.
And then, you know, as we look at the woman, the dragon, and the child, you know, but one of the things that really sucked, and you kind of honed in on it, is, you know, even though there's things happening and we're kind of waiting on some things, like everything that God does is purposeful. He has a plan. It is going to be on his right time. Even looking at some of the stuff in history was done at the right time. Stuff that's going to be done in the future, done at the right time. And I think for us, as we live in this, you know, super hyper, get what I need to now type culture, like it's good to sit back and just reflect on what he has done, how perfect he is, the purpose that he has for our life. And yeah, you know, everything's going to happen on the time that he wants it. And it's just hard. It's hard to live in that sometimes.
Sure. Well, Galatians 4:4 is the scripture that I referenced there. It said, when the time had fully come.
Yeah.
What was Paul meaning by that statement? I think clearly he was saying at just the right moment.
Yeah.
Who determined when the time had fully come? That'd be God.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I think I'll do it now. I mean, right. No, it was all part of it. And so we're on this side trying to figure out, this is a pretty constant theme of ours, trying to figure out an infinite God.
Yeah.
And yet we are limited. The scripture says that we're kind of veiled. We see partially.
Yeah.
I heard somebody give an illustration one time about, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an illustration. 55 years of age. I can take these glasses off and I can read a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff I can't read.
Yeah.
And if I want to know the expiration date on yogurt, I did it this morning in my house. I better go get the glasses and put them on. And I'm like, golly, look at there. I didn't realize that was April. I don't need to have that right now. So these glasses help me see more fully.
Yeah.
And that's what will happen when we find ourselves living in heaven, a place that is absent of sin. Right now, we're tainted. Our view's messed up because there's sin all in our eyes, but not God. So a lot of times we'll sit there and we'll say, oh my goodness, this is so messed up. God cannot be aware of what's happening here.
Yeah.
No, God is aware. And then we tend to respond, well, if God's aware, then he doesn't care.
Yeah.
No, he's aware and he does care.
Yeah.
You've got to understand you can't fully see what God's accomplishing here. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, the promises that he has given us that we're studying in his word will come to pass.
Yeah.
There's nothing that will happen that will change the plan that God has, that Jesus Christ will come back for the church, that Jesus Christ then, after the tribulation, will come back with the church.
Yeah.
That eventually the devil will be finished, thrown into the pit forever, done for. And nothing is going to change that.
Yeah.
Now, am I one of those that sits there and says, well, everything that happens is the will of God? No, I'm not one of those. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe God's will is ever that there be evil done.
Yeah.
That mankind has the ability to choose, am I going to do good deeds or am I going to do evil things? We were just talking before about, you know, when people do certain things and we sit there and we say, how could they do that? How are they out of their mind? Well, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're out of their mind. I mean, it's the most frustrating thing in the world is for you to look at an irrational decision and try to understand it rational.
Right.
It'll drive you insane.
Yeah.
Well, we're sitting around and we're looking at things that's happening in the world and we're like, how in the world can God's plan still be in place, and how can I still trust his plan? Because there's nothing in this world that will change what God has already said will happen. The ultimate plan. And we can take great hope in that when it comes to our own lives.
Yeah.
Because from day to day, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
We kind of have an idea, but we don't know what's going to happen. Things change. I know that.
Yeah.
We've all found ourselves in situations where we're like, wow, that wasn't a part of my 5-year plan.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one coming. God, I'm just going to trust you that you've got a plan and you're going to accomplish something really good here.
Yeah. I was reading something a couple of weeks ago and it was going through the book of James, but it was talking about, you know, the verse that says, you know, if the Lord wills, tomorrow we would do. And it's simply put, he goes, man, maybe our prayer should be, Lord, if you want me to, I will do this and that. And, you know, for me sitting back going, Yeah, in everything, the controlled nature that I have and all the plans and stuff that I have going, as simply as I can put it, Lord, I am here for what you want me to do. And every time I pray that and am obedient to that, it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, in ways that I never thought.
Sure. You know,
I may not like it at the moment, but it's always worked out perfectly. So I think whenever you give us this reassurance and just remind us that, you know, God never changes. He has a plan. He is fulfilling this purpose, and it is at the right time. It's just, it is very encouraging to us.
Well, and I think the great question to ask God when you're, you know, talking about plans and future and all that is not, God, what is your will for my life? But, hey, God, what's your will?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not focus on me. That's hard for us.
Yeah.
Because we're very individually focused.
Mm.
But God, what's your will?
Mm.
I want, make your will known to me, because that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be right in the center of your will. And, you know, sometimes that involves pain. Sometimes that involves glorious moments, you know,
glorious pain.
Sometimes,
painfully.
What do we say? Sometimes the mountain, sometimes the valley.
Yeah.
But do not lose hope. What he has said will come to pass. Will come to pass.
Yeah.
If it's in the Word of God, I promise it will happen. Otherwise, the entire thing is a farce. It's straight up a book of lies.
Yeah.
If what he has said will happen, will not happen. One of the reasons why we spent some time covering the book of Daniel before I go into Revelation, because I wanted everybody to see, hey, there were things that when they were prophesied, there were folks that were like, whatever.
Yeah.
There's no way, or what does that mean?
Yeah.
And now we're on the other side of it, and we look back, and we're like, well, here's what it meant. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Exactly the way God said it would happen hundreds of years before it happened. And yet now we think, oh, well, God's too old. He can't, he's not as sharp as he once was.
Yeah. Well, like even just thinking about some of the characteristics of God, like his omnipresence, like he's everywhere, all everywhere. Like I can't, you know, I can't wrap my brain around that, but you know, the perfect nature of God is perfect in every way for every part of our life. And yeah, it's just...
Yeah, and because we're imperfect, we cannot even understand the perfect nature of God. We will one day, and it won't even matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. There's so many ways we could talk about this, but so the woman, in the few minutes we have left, the woman is the nation of Israel, according to what you see there.
Yeah, that's what I believe two fronts. I believe Mary, the mother of Jesus, but she is representative of the nation of Israel. Because there are times that it talks about her labor pains,
right,
and it compares that to the pains of Israel.
Going all the way back to Genesis.
Absolutely. Yeah. The pain of Israel, their desire for a Messiah. And so, to me, he links it together when he sits there and he talks about the 12 stars and the sun and the moon. And you're like, oh, man, that's Joseph's dream right back over there.
Genesis 37, I think.
Genesis 37, yeah, no doubt. So that's what I think it means. Again, at the end of the day, is it a deal breaker if you think it's not Mary or I mean, the Catholic Church, they're going to hold to, oh, no, that's Mary, Mary. You know, most evangelicals of which we would call ourselves are going to hold to, no, that's Israel.
Yeah.
I think when you get outside of one of those two, that's when you've really crept off into some crazy things. And we even discussed a little bit of that, but we don't even have time to talk about all the different viewpoints out there. So I'd say if it doesn't land, you know, within one of those two, then, you would have to really dig deep to find something that would validate what you're trying to say.
And the dragon, and I was wondering where you're going to go. At the beginning of the sermon, you talked about, you know, you had a dragon at your nativity scene. I'm like, where is he going with this? But, you know, the dragon is the...
Well, I don't have a dragon in my nativity scene. I don't have one.
I know. I thought that's what you said.
I was asking, do you have a dragon?
And then I was like, where is he going with this?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
But
I don't even know that we have nativity scenes that we put out. We might. We might. I will not allow a nativity scene with wise men in my house. We wouldn't be biblically correct there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you could have a timeline nativity scene. Anyway, so the dragon's representing the evil one and just the destruction. And I thought you did a good job explaining that, you know, because anytime you think about some of this stuff in Scripture, it's really hard to kind of capture what is trying to be said there. So I thought you did a good job trying to explain that.
Well, and I think the reason why that maybe was a new thing to some folks is, number one, they've never studied Revelation because they're so scared to study Revelation. Or number two, and I'm going to hold this probably to be the case, while they've read that, they really don't, it really does not present itself for a very good Christmas card. Because we think of that as a peaceful moment and God sitting there and God saying, hey, understand, even at what we would consider to be that lowly manger moment, the devil was doing all he could to keep the cross from happening.
I think you like the Battle of Bethlehem.
The Battle of Bethlehem.
Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That could be a great sermon title.
Yeah, well, and that maybe I should have come up with that one, but I didn't. The Battle of Bethlehem.
Well, I was going to give you credit for that.
Oh, man. No, I'm not saying I didn't say it. I'm saying I didn't come up with it as a the title.
Well, whenever you preach it next Christmas, you can be like,
the Battle of Bethlehem.
My boy Ryan came up with this with this title. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and here's the exact statement I made. The Battle of Bethlehem meant warfare in the nursery.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you've ever been to a church nursery, there's a lot of warfare.
We could put that on the walls and in the hallways of the children's ministry.
Yeah. We could.
We'd probably get in trouble.
All
right. So
maybe we let somebody else do that.
Yeah. So kind of closing it out, you know, again, mentioning the child, but then just this restating the encouragement, the promises that, you know, the Christians all over the world are praying the same thing. We're praying that the kingdom of God comes, and you know, we're in this battle together. We're understanding that the devil's not going to win. The devil's not going to have the final word. Jesus is who he says he is, and his promises are true. And
what does the kingdom of God look like? So many different ways to describe it. And I hate to even just narrow it down to one description because clearly I'm going to leave something out. But I would say a good way, a good partial way to describe it is the world will finally recognize Jesus for who he's always been.
The way, the truth, and the life.
The way, the truth, and the life. Mm. And the Babe Ruth story, I heard that from an old-timey preacher years ago. And it's true. I've had umpires tell me that. My opinion is the only one that matters. And the opinion of God, when it's all said and done, will be the only one that matters.
Mm. Well, man, as always, even through a tough, interesting text, always pointing us to Jesus and pointing us to the truth of Scripture. So we'll see you next time right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.